from Hebrews, offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Big words. We've been working a lot over the last couple of months, really through the course of the summer, on what I've been calling fluency. That is, fluency in our own Christian tradition, in our spiritual tradition. And we've been, every time I've been preaching, I've been pointing out a new image, a new person, a new something from Scripture to help you get more fluent, to add to your vocabulary, if you will. And we've been doing that deliberately because I finally found voice earlier this year for something that I've been living with for a long time, but with somebody else's language, and I finally found a way to talk about it myself. And that is, as you know, I was changed by my visit to a church called Church of Our Savior in Washington, D.C., a high-commitment ecumenical church. And so much of what we've done together over the last 12 years has been experimenting in what it looks like for an ordinary Episcopal church to implement some of the teachings from Church of Our Savior. And one of the core teachings of the founder, Gordon Cosby, was that you can't be a church in depth, what I've been calling a rigorous church, unless you have six things, not five, not seven, six. I'm now calling those, or we're calling them together, fluency, community, abiding, befriending, cross, and call. So each of those six have to be happening. So we've been working on the first of those, fluency. Soon I want to shift to talking about community in depth, but today's reading is such a perfect example of what fluency looks like and feels like that I want to walk through that text with this idea of scriptural fluency in mind. A really wonderful phrase came from Jacob today. Jacob, Judy and I were meeting to plan for, you may remember that one of our plans for our 150th, which is in 2018, is to host a retreat for 40 people about creating a rigorous church. And Jacob said, part of why you would want to come to this retreat, part of why you would want to examine what we're doing here at St. Paul's, is that what we're doing here helps each of us find your confident Christian voice in a very secular environment. Find your confident Christian voice in a very secular environment. That's part of what we're talking about with fluency, finding your own voice in a very secular environment, in a place where you know you're not going to get a lot of supportive feedback from people. But I think you're going to get it. We are going to get a good listen if we really find our voice. So this passage does this in two ways. One is that the passage from Hebrews makes a clear reference to an absolutely pivotal moment in our story as the people of God. And I want to point that out to you. The second is, listen again to this phrase that all of this that I pointed to at the very beginning. Offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for indeed our God is a consuming fire. Each of those is absolutely central to our understanding as Christians. So first of all, please go to your Pew Bibles, page 979, and we can take a look at this passage together. So first of all, I want to give you a real sense of where this passage comes from, what it's referring to. So the passage begins, page 979, we're in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. It says, "You have not come to something that can be touched." Pay attention to these images. "A blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest and the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that not another word be spoken to them. For they could not endure the order that was given. If even an animal touches the mountain, it shall be stoned to death. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear." Now, all of these are references to a completely pivotal moment. And the completely pivotal moment happens on page 57 of your Pew Bible. If you could go to page 57, and I'm going to read this entire chapter here because it's an essential chapter, and I want you to know these images. You may be already aware of them, but maybe you don't remember that it all comes from one place, from one time in the history of the people of Israel. They have been freed from slavery in Egypt. They are making their way towards the promised land. They're only a few days out, and they come to Mount Sinai. On the third new moon after the Israelites had gone out of the land of Egypt, so we're 3 months into this journey, which ends up taking, of course, how many years?
40,
exactly. So we're just at the very beginning. On that very day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. They had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine, but you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." Moses reported the words of the people to the Lord. Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to come to you in a dense cloud in order that the people may hear when I speak with you and so trust you ever after." When Moses had told the words of the people to the Lord said to Moses, "Go to the people and consecrate them today and tomorrow. Have them wash their clothes and prepare for the third day, because on the third day the Lord will come down upon Mount Sinai in the sight of all the people. You shall set limits for the people all around, saying," these are the images that ought to be familiar now from Hebrews, "saying, be careful not to go up the mountain or to touch the edge of it. Any who touches the mountains shall be put to death. No hand shall touch them, but they shall be stoned or shot with arrows, whether animal or human being. They shall not live. When the trumpet," there's the trumpet, "sounds a long blast, they may go up on the mountain." So Moses went down from the mountain to the people. He consecrated the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said to the people, "Prepare for the third day. Do not go near a woman." On the morning of the third day, there was thunder and lightning, as well as a thick cloud on the mountain, and a blast of a trumpet so loud that all the people who were in the camp trembled. Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet God. They took their stand at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was wrapped in smoke because the Lord had descended upon it in fire. The smoke went up like the smoke of a kiln, while the whole mountain shook violently. As the blast of the trumpet grew louder and louder, Moses would speak and God would answer him in thunder. When the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai to the top of the mountain, the Lord summoned Moses to the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Go down and warn the people not to break through to the Lord to look. Otherwise, many of them will perish. Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." Moses said to the Lord, "The people are not permitted to come up to Mount Sinai, for you yourself warned us, saying, 'Set limits around the mountain and keep it holy.'" The Lord said to him, "Go down and come up bringing Aaron with you, but do not let either the priests or the people break through to come up to the Lord. Otherwise, he will break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and told them. Now, that's an incredibly important set of images. That is something that's really helpful for us to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest this image. There are some chapters in the Bible that are just worth knowing really, really well, and this is one of them. It is impossible to understand what the writer to the Hebrews is after unless we understand that this is the image. And the thing to understand is that Jesus himself says that he does not come to abolish the law. He doesn't come to abolish these images. He comes to fulfill them. So if we want to understand who Jesus is and who Jesus is for us, we must first read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest these images, including this image of a fearsome mountain as the place where God chooses to encounter humanity. So Hebrews is building off of that image. Now listen to the quote again. "Offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For indeed, our God is a consuming fire." Now, I hope that this image from Exodus and this passage from Hebrews gives you some taste of the biblical wisdom that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is a proper awe and reverence, and we cannot grow in God unless we come to understand and experience for ourselves that awe and reverence that in this context is called fear of the Lord, a good fear, a healthy fear. Now, one of the ways I understand this passage in a practical way, it comes from St. Augustine, whom I think you know I quote all the time. And one of the things he teaches in his Confessions is that God refuses to be embraced along with a lie. So if there's any falsehood in us, that keeps us apart from God. The good news is, as it tells us in Isaiah, God's love is like a refiner's fire, purifying, burning away those impurities in us so that we can embrace God. Now, even in this image of great awe and wonder and even fear, there is, of course, good news. And the good news comes in the very center of the passage, I would suggest, that's... Well, I won't quote it, but I will say that it gives a vision of where we are going, and then it just piles up the different kinds of images to explain what our spiritual home is like. It says that we are approaching Mount Zion, that we are approaching the city of God, that we are approaching the heavenly Jerusalem, that we are approaching the festal gathering with all of the angels, that we are approaching Jesus.